They skip into the sunset. That's WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage. And there's rumors that this is the last Brain Damage. Yeah, they're only rumors, though. We'll be back with the facts in a couple of minutes.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering days and daisy chains and rocks. Got to keep the rooms on the park. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in our hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. Every day, the paper boy brings more. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. Thank you.
Well, it's 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, and yes, I started the rumor. I have the right to start rumors about the fate of my own show. But this is the last time that you will hear my voice at this time of night. Yes, Jim Wiener is shedding tears in the background. Go on, Jim, this is a rather momentous occasion, as we've been together more than neither one of us would want to have been during this time slot occasionally. You know, every 3 weeks you do a classical show and I come in and do brain damage, and now they're moving me. They're moving you, too, for that matter.
Slightly, just slightly.
In fact, we're moving the listeners. That's something that's a bit complicated I can't get into right now. But, brain damage from now on, not from now on, but from next week on, next Saturday on, will be heard at midnight. Midnight to 2 o'clock. And I believe, based upon the comments we've gotten from various people in the hallway, that's the best thing to do.
Well, I think they said that was the next best thing. The best thing to do, I think they said, was to take it off altogether.
I'm not supposed to say
that. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
So that's not my opinion, of course.
Part of like negative feedback that we
sorry.
Don't talk
sorry
about.
About that. No,
yeah,
we
no, no.
Yeah,
but
that,
those comments that we could, listen to, you know, we wrote down, and that's what people seem to want. Well, I like it better. I'm sure you like where you're going better. Where are you going?
I'm going just a slight move. Instead of the classical program on Saturday evening starting at 7 o'clock, David Brown, Valerie Wilcox, and I will be rotating once every 3 weeks. I don't mean that we'll be spinning around in the studio. I mean that each of us rotates. We each do a classical program Saturday nights once every 3 weeks, and that will begin, instead of at 7 p.m., will begin at 6:30 p.m. and run till 9 p.m. That's starting next Saturday.
Well, that's going to throw some of our listeners quite a bit, I bet. Half hour difference.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's a major change. We just want to let people know. Though,
not to
so
panic.
Aware.
No, I'm panicking. Don't panic. We're being directed. Our director is telling us where to go with the discussion now. Okay, so the weather. Yes, it's currently 21 degrees Celsius. What? Fill me in on this. Whispering in the background. Tell me what...
They're also taking a half-hour cut.
Oh! They're taking a half-hour cut. I thought he was telling us to cut it short, to cut it off, or else off with our heads or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, but of course, this is suggesting that we're going to go off the air for a half an hour. It's a half hour less...
We can, if you want to. Half hour?
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Say you off.
Saturday night,
oh,
it means a half hour less of classical music, but that means that there'll be a half hour more of something else that will be added to the schedule.
Well, I'm going
to
take an extra half hour for lunch.
Diversity.
Just once a week,
so
an extra half hour
really
just
a negative.
as a you know, kind of tribute to the half hour that's being lost. I'll take an extra half hour. And I think everyone else should do that, too. And think classical when you... taking that extra half hour. I think that's a fine, noble way to tribute.
Yeah, actually, what you could do is you could eat lunch, you could maybe have some tuna salad, and arrange the tuna salad in a plate in the shape of a name like Mozart or something. You know, you could
do that. No, that's sacrilegious. You can't.
No, I wouldn't say it's sacrilegious.
A classical person should know that. That's not, you don't mess around with classical music, Jim. You know that.
Well, actually.
None of these car commercials with, Beethoven playing and all that kind of thing. It's just not righteous.
Well, I'm not particularly.
You have a price, too, huh? That's what you're trying to say.
No, frankly, no, I don't care. I don't actually...
I don't care, huh?
No, what I mean, what I really mean
care.
Is... What I really
I'll
mean
remember
is...
That
what I really mean is that, yes, yeah, sometimes I can see people feeling that classical music might be used in a way that trivializes it or kind of stereotypes it, but... in another sense, it's nice to hear it getting some widespread exposure. And for me personally, I don't think an overly solemn view of classical music. again, I don't think it should be trivialized, but on the other hand, I don't think people should feel intimidated by it. For example, I myself, and this is probably obvious to most people, I'm not a learned scholar, a learned musicologist in the area of classical music. It's just something that I enjoy. I enjoy all kinds of different music, and the classical music...
Can you telephone Mrs. Carroll to help you?
Yeah, can I have AT&T, please?
Well... Sorry.
No, keep talking. Don't mind me.
For an operator who can assist you. Thank
you. Just keep talking. Don't worry.
I'm saying that wake up, pal. I was saying that
AT&T, how can we help you?
Yes, can you tell me what time
music
it is
that I've come
right
to like? Classical
Moscow?
Music is that's what I've heard, what I enjoy, and I think it's fine to make a analytical study of it, and I think it's very important.
Okay.
But at the same time,
7 hours ahead.
Thank you very much.
Experts at it should not feel intimidated and feel put off. They are as welcome as any listener to the station. So I just want to.
It's 5:17. No, that's wrong. That's wrong.
That is,
because
somebody
our clock
talking,
says it's 10:14. Our clock says
it doesn't really matter because I guess it's the.
Let's
guess,
see what the little man in the phone
really
has
make
to
any
say
difference.
About this.
Because I guess I was just
nine,
being set up.
September
as a,
7.
As a, just as a.
22.
Which is actually
16,
okay. You know, I really don't mind it. Actually, I find that rather amusing.
September 7.
Humor technique to. Have someone suggest I start talking about something, and then they talk over me for the humor effect of having two conversations going on at once.
Well, that's fascinating. Now, to continue along that point, it's 5:17 in the morning in Moscow, and we're going to air Moscow Mailbag here at 10:17 in the evening the day before. So we're actually getting it before they do.
Before Moscow gets it?
Yeah,
Moscow broadcasts Moscow Mailbag?
Right.
In Moscow?
Right, because we're airing it the night before.
Yeah, but do they actually air their own programs that they're supposed to send overseas?
Of course they are their own programs. What are you saying there?
No, I'm just saying I thought
you're
the Moscow Mailbag
send
was
us certain programs that they don't want anything to do with themselves?
No, just that they might feel that Moscow Mailbag is of interest to people outside of the might or might not still be Soviet Union.
A lot of people inside the Soviet Union have questions about the Soviet Union.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Especially now.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're asking a lot of those questions.
That's true.
Some all at the same time.
Yeah.
They're not getting very many answers, but that's something else that we'll go into. I think this is a pre-coup program we're going to hear, too. I don't think that's a coup yet. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Moscow Mailbag now that we're moving the show to midnight. You know, I'm open to suggestion as to when we should throw it on. Maybe Moscow Mailbag should get its own time slot. You know, probably a very popular show.
Midnight, it'll be exactly 7 a.m.
It'll be exactly 7 a.m., that's true. Except when daylight savings time goes away. Then it gets all messed up.
Well, someone had suggested the possibility during the new... season, the fall season, that
fall
Moscow
sweeps.
Fall sweeps, yes.
Yeah.
That Moscow Mailbag be heard on WUSB 23 hours a day, with another hour for other kinds of programming. I don't know if that was paid any serious attention to.
Well, we always pay serious attention to things like that.
Do we?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I believe that there was a rumor. I don't think this is true, but there was a rumor that Joe Adamoff might be doing Concert Billboard. But I don't think that actually came to pass.
Is he interested?
I don't know.
I wouldn't mind.
I don't know. I'm not saying it would be a bad idea. I'm just saying I just didn't think he'd be coming over here just, you know, do that every
Well, no,
day.
He could send us a tape.
Well, that's true.
Of course, it would be about 3 weeks out of date by the time he got here, but again, it's about 3 weeks out of date now anyway.
If we get some more advanced listings, I suppose it really wouldn't matter, but...
Well, I think it's time, based on the listener response here, that we should go to Moscow Mailbag and... take a bite of you, Jim.
I think that no matter what you went to... I didn't mean that at all. I'm just... I'll come clean and say no matter what you went to, even if it was dead air, I think people would be happy as long as they knew that I wasn't going to be on anymore, so...
Well, we won't be colliding anymore.
No.
You'll be colliding with, Psychedelic Attesson or something? Is that what you're going to be colliding with?
Music from Modern Era.
Music from Modern Era.
Oh, that's actually... This is a nice, I think, programming transition. Going from classical music to music from modern years, because music from modern years, the concepts, musically, I think, are somewhat similar to classical music, even though...
Yeah, they're all pretty strange people.
Well,
you know,
I didn't mean it that way,
made it that way. The classical people and that bizarre musical kind of, you know, Brian Eno Fripp type things.
Well, I
think you're all in the same boat heading out to sea somewhere.
Well, okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
Okay,
I understand that kind
of
music.
No life preserver for you, Eric. But the kind of music that you hear on Music for Modern Ears is, in a way, ultra-modern classical music.
Contemporary classical
music. So I think that's a nice transition. That's why, even though it's a half hour less of the classical program, that's what I meant when I said that you're really not losing anything, but in fact you're...
Hello.
You're using part of that time to provide a schedule for music that may be of interest to the classical listeners. The Music for Modern Ears program would be a nice block of programs.
Nice block, yes. Improve the property values around here.
No.
Yeah, I agree. Well, at least we don't have Tony White to kick around. And I guess that silence means that everybody agrees with me. Okay, that's good, then.
Well, Tony's a good friend of mine, really. And he's helped me out of a lot of fixes, seriously.
Well, he's gotten you into a lot of fixes, too.
No, he's helped me out. Hasn't got me into it.
Okay.
Are you sure that he's changing his name?
I would if I was him. Yeah, I definitely would. Yeah. Well, anyway, apart from that. Okay, so we have that coming up, Moscow Mailbag, that is. I've got a new bad CD, another one. You know, I played the album last week, but now I have a CD, and it's got a song on it that no one has ever heard before. Well, I mean, around here. I mean, I'm sure they've heard it, but it hasn't been played in this country. But then again, nothing has been played in this country by them anyway, but this is not an album, and it's nowhere, and you can't find it. So I'll be playing that, taking phone calls, all that kind of thing. There were some complaints last week that the tripods were all squeaky and sound effects were bad, and...
Yeah. The sound effects were bad.
Well, the tapes were old and decaying, but we fixed it.
The tapes were old and decaying.
And what we're going to do is we're going to re-air last week's episode at 10:45 and this week's episode at 11 o'clock, so nobody will be upset. Again, we don't know what's going to happen next week. We're open to suggestion on that. So our number is 632-6901. And Bergman's Brain Damage, we're with you until midnight tonight. And Jim, I guess I'll give it to you now to say your final words, and please be quick about it.
Well, yeah, this may be very well be the last time that I get a chance to speak to the Brain Damage audience.
It was
very enjoyable. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. And thank you very much, Eric, for having me on the program. Good luck with the new time slot.
You ever timed one of his responses to a question?
No, because...
15 minutes, or maybe even 15 and a half.
Yeah, I don't go past 5 minutes on my little clock here. It's like it turns around again, and I have to keep track and write it down on a piece of paper. That's no good. All right, Moscow Mailbag, we're answering all your questions, and Jim... Live long and prosper and all that kind of
thing. Thank you, and the same to you.
All right. Well, let me just shake your hand and thanks very much for being a part of the program.
Well, I got to see my orthopedist age fast.
Have a nice life.
You too.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And here, as usual, is Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. Marianne Cahill from Atlanta, Georgia, asks the following. When in Moscow, I looked for quality goods to buy in local stores, and I found it extremely difficult. Well, Joe, what have you got to say to that one?
Well, Marianne, what can I say? You looked for quality goods, you say. I'm afraid there aren't any kind of goods on sale, irrespective of quality. The other day, I walked into an electric goods store, and there were 7 or 8 lampshades and nothing else. Before, there were hundreds and hundreds of different items. There were no electric bulbs, no electric switches. I needed one for my reading lamp. Nothing. The one thing I did buy was adhesive insulation tape. Oh, yes, there was one model of flashlight, but no batteries. Marianne, you just walk into any department store and you will not find any durable goods. Go into a shoe or clothing department. No shoes, no clothes.
Well, I also think the new tourist exchange rate, she writes, has severely dented the trade. Well, the black marketeers do too. No one bothered me this time, though. What about that one?
Well, I know that these... boys that used to buy foreign currency always used to hang around the hotels. You're right, not so anymore. You see, when you get 30 rubles for a dollar, that actually took the business away from the black marketeers. And an American correspondent who's working here in Moscow says it costs him next to nothing to live in Moscow. Today, for $200 a month, you can live very, very comfortably with this rate of exchange, naturally, because for $200, he gets 6,000 rubles. Well, I said this before, I pay what amounts to 70 cents a month for my three-room apartment plus a kitchen. That's according to this rate of exchange.
Well, Joe, this next one we expected someone to write about. And that's, she goes on to say that the hotel she was in, the Belgrade, had no hot water. Well, none of the hot H2O. Well, and she goes on to say that, I was told it was their district's turn for the hot water system to go through its regular maintenance in preparation for the winter. Well,
Mary, I know this, you're right, it's a pain in the neck. We all have to endure for anything between 10 days to a month every single year. The hot water system is switched off for maintenance, don't you know? I'll end by saying, Marianne, when are you coming here again?
Well, our next question is from Anthony Deserland in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. He writes, I hope Mr. Yeltsin and Mr. Gorbachev can work together for the betterment of your country.
Well, since I received your letter, the junta had begun its coup, and before I could answer you, democracy in the Soviet Union had won and been restored. Today, no doubt, Mr. Yeltsin is the national hero. So are the tens of thousands of Moscow citizens who stood in the rain and formed a human wall against the tanks, and this is no exaggeration. They stood fast to defend the lawfully elected Russian parliament, and they won. Let us also thank the Tula Airborne Division, which crossed over to the side of Yeltsin, and two tank divisions partly also came over to the side of Yeltsin. The youth certainly knows which side to take. I'm sure despite the past differences, Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Yeltsin will work together. And Mr. Gorbachev, I hope, will learn to lean to the left of center and not to the right of center as he did in the past. Let's wish them success in pulling us out of the economic mess that we're in today. But when I think back about those dark days of the junta, the whole thing seems unbelievable.
So, in contrast now, another subject from Thornton Elliott in Hampston, Virginia. Joe, do you know what this is? Quack, quack?
I can guess.
You can guess. Well, he says, I love ducks. What are the most common species of ducks in the USSR?
Thornton, I have a duck, the common loon, on a magnet on the door of my refrigerator. It's the symbol of Minnesota. We have 35 varieties of ducks in this country, and most of them winter in the southern part of the Caspian Sea. You ask what varieties, or, well, about 90% of the ducks grown on our farms are of the Pekingese breed and various crossbreeds. Very common are the mallards, the gray duck, the teal, and two other ducks whose English names I'm afraid I just simply don't know. By the way, Thornton, did you know that ducks were domesticated 3,000 years ago practically all over the inhabited globe? Well, I think I'll conclude my answer with a duck joke, if I may. A man in a restaurant asked if they had wild duck on the menu. No, sir, said the waiter. But we can tease a domesticated duck until it reaches the right condition.
Very nice. Right, we continue with Paul Mosel in San Francisco, California. He asks, are marathons run in the Soviet Union? Well, yes, they are, aren't they?
Yes, but there's so many of them, I don't know which ones to tell you about. Many regular marathons, such as White Nights, take place in Leningrad regularly. We have national championships in the marathon for both men and women. Then we have the USSR Cup. Then we participate in many international championships like the one in Rome in 89, the World Marathon Cup, the Moscow International Marathon. the International Peace Marathon, and this is no exaggeration, and hundreds of others.
So many. Well, Frank Rodeo, Jr. from Rosedale, New Jersey, has asked about more information on the Trans-Siberian Railway.
What can I tell you? It's about 6,000 miles long and just celebrated its 100th anniversary. It begins in Moscow and ends in Vladivostok on the Pacific. The journey takes less than 7 days, and much of it is electric traction. The train is called Rossiya, which means Russia. This is the longest railroad line in the world, incidentally. An American that I know, he used to work for a big television company, made the trip and enjoyed it exceedingly. He said, it's a kaleidoscope of views. It is a railroad bridge, in fact, between the European countries and the Far East, Japan, China, and Southeast Asia. Because through our country, through our territory, thousands of transit containers are transported annually.
From Holbrook in New York, Brian Freddle now wants to know the status of shooting sports in your country, Jim.
That's about as difficult as the marathons, because we use small-bore rifles, small-bore pistols, air rifles, air pistols. We shoot at running boars. We also compete with the free rifle, the standard rifle, and many, many other events. We compete in three positions, prone, and dozens of other events. Yes, of course, naturally, I should have mentioned this at the beginning, we go in for trap and skeet shooting. Last year, the 45th World Shooting Championships were held here in the Soviet Union, and 14 world records were set by Soviet marksmen. Sportsmen came here from 53 countries around the globe. They competed for 56 sets of medals in 27 events. Our team made out pretty well, 21 gold, 14 silver, and 4 bronze, and I think that shows the popularity of the sport in this country.
Well, he goes on to ask, are there any animated cartoon studios that produce films on a regular basis?
We have the biggest one here in Moscow called Soyuz Multfilm, founded back in 1936. They do complain about the bad quality of the studios and the antiquated equipment. Well, I'll tell you one thing about our cartoons. The series with the big bad wolf and the smart hare, very popular indeed. The hare always comes out on top, and each time the film ends with the wolf saying, "Now, hare, just you wait." Some of our cartoons are, I would say, are good. Some I simply don't like, especially those where we have animated dolls. There's another cartoon film studio founded in 1971, which makes cartoon films especially for television.
Well, our next question is from Great Britain. It's from Mr. A.R. King, Swindon, Wiltshire. He writes, before Christmas last year, there was a collection here of food, cans, etc., for people in the USSR and the republics. Did the food get to its designation? And he writes, I hope it did not end up on the black market.
Mr. King, I don't know the destination or exactly where this consignment came from. Lately, there's been much more order, much more justice in this business of distribution of gifts. I feel your gifts reached their lawful recipients. But I will admit, before, there were cases of large amounts of goods and food sent as charity, ending up not only on the black market, but in the hands of corrupt officials and even in the hands of local deputies.
Albert Angelo Portello from Birmingham, Michigan, writes, does God exist?
He does for believers. He does not for non-believers. You know, an American researcher that I once met, he used to work in the field of religions, researching that area. He said the most religious people he ever met were astronomers, gazing in awe at the universe and delving ever deeper into its secrets and laws. They would always be confronted with the same questions. Why this was so? And how did it all begin? And why?
Well, he continues by asking, what's the better system for man? Three choices here. Socialism, capitalism, or royalism?
I think the better system is the one that guarantees its citizens human rights and freedoms, conditions to pursue happiness, democracy, guaranteed social security, freedom of enterprise, and the highest standard of living in the world for the maximum possible number of people.
Well, Albert Angela goes on to ask a whole string of questions now, Joe. Is utopia possible, he asks.
We tried it. It didn't work.
And is anyone absolutely free?
You see, all freedom, in some respects, is limited. Albert, I'm sure you'd be apprehended if you walked stark naked down the main street of Birmingham, Michigan. You see, all freedoms must, to some extent, be limited by society for the benefit of society and according to the wishes of the majority. You know, when I was in Australia, I was surprised to see all the young damsels swimming topless. One television company asked me what I thought of this custom. I said, my socialist eyes are not used to such spectacles.
Oh, dear, you do make me laugh. Anyway, the next question. Does physics solve the riddle of matter and existence?
It does for the non-believers or atheists, but not for the believers. So let's respect the beliefs of both.
Can the future be predicted?
To a certain small degree in some areas, but not more. Remember the song, the future is not ours to see, que sera, sera. You know, Khrushchev believed that by 1970, we would outstrip the United States in the output of agricultural products per head of population. By 1970. And by 1980, he assured everybody, real incomes of the population in the USSR would be higher than those in the United States by 75%. I'm only quoting my mailbag of 30 years ago.
Gosh.
And today it's 1991, and we hold 60th place in the world in standards of living.
And next, is it ethical to kill?
Well, don't you know the Holy Book says, thou shalt not kill. You ought to know that.
And is there such a thing as just war?
I believe there is. Wasn't the war of the coalition to liberate Kuwait just? I think it was. Wasn't the war of the Allies against Nazism, that is, the Second World War, just? It certainly was. Today, we must learn to solve all our problems politically, round a conference table.
And does space ever end?
You know, materialists have been saying that matter is infinite in time and space, and matter is infinite in mass. But lately, cosmologists have been saying and speaking of finite, curved space, curved universe. Though the universe may expand indefinitely in all directions, it will expand and then contract. And the universe is not infinite in mass. Just listen to this carefully. A light ray may travel infinitely far, going round and round in curved space. But it moves in a cosmos with a finite radius of about 13 billion light years. What lies beyond that is void and vacuum, with no matter. Of course, this is all very difficult to grasp, and there are many points of view even on curved space, but I give you just one point of view.
Well, Joe, can you add to the list of the so-called great questions?
Add to the list, easy. Why is it that Albert Angelo Portello asks all these philosophical questions?
I don't know, but can one ever fully answer a question?
Well, some questions can be answered fully and briefly. Philosophical questions, I suppose not. You can barely scratch the surface, but I believe you can give the listener the right idea.
Well, and that was, as usual, Joe Adamoff answering your questions. Now, don't forget our address. If you'd like to write to us, do keep your letters coming in. It's Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR.
And thanks for our wonderful tape deck for for slowing down the progress in the Soviet Union once again. That was Moscow Mailbag. We don't know when it'll be on next week, but it'll be on at some point. We do know that. Some point during the new brain damage slot, starting at midnight. It's 10:38 now, and I know we said we were going to be airing last week's episode of the Tripod that got botched up last week at 10:45, but there's really no way we can do that if we get into our next feature, which is the Bad 2 EP that we have here. So we'll play it after we hear the four songs on this EP. And one of the songs you've heard a couple of times already in different versions, the song called Rush. It's a single. It was released as a change of atmosphere last year on the ill-fated Kool-Aid album. But now it's back. It's out on the new record and called The Globe. We'll hear the album version first. Then we'll hear something called Rush Dance. And that will be followed by a song that doesn't appear anyplace else. A song called City Lights, kind of samples some Hill Street Blues, believe it or not. And we'll top it all off with a live version of Rush. They really kind of like the Rush song here. So the EP is titled Rush, coincidentally enough. When we come back, we'll hear last week's episode, this week's episode, and we'll take some phone calls at 632-6901.
If I had my time again, it all the same, and I'll change a single thing, even when I was the fly, for the heartache and the pain that I caused throughout my years. How I learned to be a man through the laughter and the tears. Situation now. Fully grown, and I know where it's at. Somehow I stay thin while the other guys got back. All the chances that I've blown, and the times that I've been down, I didn't get too high, kept my feet on the ground.
That's delightful, delightful.
Rush for a change of atmosphere.
I wish I could sing like that. Not everything's singing, you know. The only important thing these days is rhythm and melody. Rhythm and melody.
station now. Rush for a change of atmosphere. I can't go on so I give in. Gotta get myself right out of here. Situation now.
Out of the way.
Well, there you have it. The Never Before Heard on These Airwaves EP from Big Audio Dynamite 2. And only one of those songs from the album the new album that came out, The Globe. That was the one we heard up on top, Rush. And that was followed by Rush Dance, City Lights, and we wound up with the live version of Rush. And I don't know when that was recorded. It doesn't say when, but it must have been sometime last year because it came out before the album did. And they were touring at some point last year. It's 6 minutes after 11 o'clock, and boy, we're really running over here, and we got to like squeeze in some phone calls and things like that. This is the last episode of Brain Damage to air at this time. Next week we move to midnight to 2 a.m., and we'll be settling in there over the next couple of weeks doing all kinds of new things. But one thing that we do have to do tonight, we have to catch up with the Tripod Adventures. Last week didn't sound all that great because of some technical problems, but we fixed them. We're going to rebroadcast last week's episode, which explains a whole lot. For those of you that have been following the saga for a while, that will be the catch-up episode, and then we'll have this week's episode airing almost immediately after that. So stay tuned. We'll be taking phone calls at 632-6901 and looking at news and reading all kinds of bizarre things as well. Stay tuned.
Take a step in the right direction.
Join thousands of your fellow Long Islanders in the fight against AIDS.
Right here on Long Island.
Sunday, September 29th at Heckscher State Park in East Islip.
From all walks of life.
A 10K pledge walk to benefit AIDS services.
And prevention education programs.
For Long Island.
Join in a day of fun and entertainment.
Love, compassion, hope, and caring.
For sponsor envelopes.
Or more information.
Call the Long Island Association for AIDS Care.
LIAC.
351-5777.
351-5777.
Take the first step.
Radio Free Long Island, in conjunction with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week, as we check in with Kathy, Howard, and Boris, we find that they are in the sewer system of Nice and have just met Uncle Jonathan. And Kathy right now is wondering just why Uncle Jonathan.
Uncle Jonathan! What in the world are you, of all people, doing here?
We thought we were the only ones wandering around in these French sewers.
I am totally baffled and a little confused, my friends. What is going on?
Well, it's no wonder you're confused, Boris.
Well, who wouldn't be? I'm confused, too. And he's my uncle.
I'm not really confused. I'm more puzzled.
Well, Uncle Jonathan, do you have an explanation as to just why you're here?
You're probably wondering what I'm doing here. Eh, Kathy?
That man is very intelligent, no?
Well, I'll tell you. Do you remember a month or two ago, Howard, you were supposed to star in a major motion picture with that famous French actress? Well, what was,
Oh, come off it already. What about Brigitte Leroux?
Hey, that was her name. Very good, Kathy.
You mean that you, Mr. Tripod, were supposed to co-star in a major motion picture with Brigitte Leroux?
Yes.
My sister?
What?
It's all falling into place now, my children.
I'm more confused than ever, Uncle Jonathan. What is going on?
It's very simple, Kathy. Very simple. You see, I was under contract to have a film made by the end of the month. And then Howard got lost and Brigitte Leroux never showed up.
All right. That makes sense so far. Now, wait a minute. I want to write this down so I don't get lost. Hang on here. Okay, go ahead.
So there I was with no film and a rapidly approaching deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. And then I found out, Kathy, that you and Howard were going on a vacation.
And the rest is history, my friends.
What do you mean the rest is history, Boris? I still don't understand this.
Why don't we just let Uncle Jonathan finish explaining it?
I heard that you two were in search of a statue that was hidden somewhere in France. So I hired a film crew to follow you around as soon as you got onto the boat and record your every move.
Now, hold on. Do you mean that all the time we were out looking for the statue, we were actually on film?
That's correct, Kathy.
Let me write that down.
But where does Boris fit into all of this?
Ah, that is the most interesting part, Mr. Tripod. You see, my real name is Boris Leroux.
So you are Brigitte's sister. I mean, brother.
Wait a minute, Howard. Don't go so fast.
Boris has always been a good friend of mine. So when I called him to find out where his sister was, he told me that she had decided to give up acting for a while. He offered to help me in her place.
Howard, give me your pen. Mine's going dry.
So I hired Boris to help you find the statue, which I made certain was hidden in the most dangerous and terrifying place in France.
The sewers of Nice.
You mean we've been risking our lives down here just so you could make a stupid film?
I ought to tear your stupid face apart. Do you know what we've been through?
Calm down, Mr. Tripod. Remember, you will be getting 25% of the residuals.
I'll let it go this time, but watch out in the future.
25%? Golly, that could be a lot of money.
I'm expecting this film to be the biggest thing since Star Wars.
All right, all right. Let me see if I got everything straight. Now, we've been starring in a film all this time, and we didn't know it. But Horace did know it, right?
That's exactly right, Kathy.
Now the film began as soon as we stepped onto the boat, and I'll bet that mysterious stranger we met on the boat was a part of the plot, right?
That's correct, Kathy. You certainly are perceptive.
Phew. Well, that explains that.
There's one thing I'm not sure on. Now, we know when the film began, but where does it end?
Why, it is still going on, my friends.
Yes, you might call this the grand finale of the entire film.
I think the shock ending will astound many people.
Shock ending? What shock ending?
And so, all sorts of shocking discoveries are made by the Tripods, far too many to be summarized within this 30 seconds. You want to tune in next week when we'll hear Howard say,
"Boy, that was shocking."
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, presented exclusively through an arrangement with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
On Sunday, September 8th, 1991, starting at 12:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook, we will be presenting Radio Art Noise, the second in a series of five-hour improvisations live over the airwaves of WUSB Stony Brook. If you missed the improvisation of May 5th of this past year, be sure to tune in for this one. I'm sure you'll be interested and excited by what you hear. And if you're interested in participating, you can call 516-632-6901 on the day of the performance. That's Radio Art Noise, second in a series, coming up September 8th, 1991, here at WUSB Stony Brook from 12:30 p.m. until 5:30 p.m. Be sure to tune in for it on the first station of the 90s, WUSB in Stony Brook.
Radio Free Long Island, with complete and total agreement with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we rejoin Pop in the Tripod's suburban home on Long Island, and as we join him with his new friend...
I don't know if anyone's told you this before, but you're one of the strangest-looking dogs that was ever created. What I can't understand is why they call you a wonder dog. What do you do that's so wonderful? You don't know any tricks. You don't know how to sit down, or lie up, or stand down, or lie down. You're not even house-trained. I don't know, maybe I was wrong. Well, I wonder who there could... Toby, calm down! Stop attacking that door! What was the word that the inspector gave me to make you stop acting so damn vicious? It was some household utensil or something. Oh, let me think, something in the closet. No, what could that be? Light bulbs! No, that wasn't it. Iron! No, that wasn't it. Old newspapers! No, I think I got a coat hanger! Whew. Yeah, that was it. By golly, I knew I wouldn't forget. Yeah, who are you?
I've got a package for you, Mac. You care to sign for it?
What kind of package is it?
It looks like something from the Book of the Week Club. I think it's the memoirs of the former sanitation supervisor.
Confound it all! When will those people leave me alone? I paid my bill. And I told them I don't want any more books. Stupid books. I hate them. Get out of here and leave me alone. Of all the nerve. As if I didn't have enough things to worry about. Oh, will you stop that howling? I can't concentrate on anything with that noise. And I have to get the house clean by the time Howard and Kathy get back. And who knows when that'll be. Oh, it sure is a mess. And most of it's because of you. Damn. Oh, confound it. If I wanted a dog, I would have gotten myself a nice collie. Or a beagle or something.
Oh, I don't even know what you are, but if
I
did...
Back.
Oh, no, Toby, stop it. Don't attack them. They live here. Oh.
What's going on?
What was that word? Vacuum cleaner. No, that wasn't it. Fly swatter.
No.
Confound it. What was that word?
What's going on here? We're being attacked by dogs in our own house.
Oh, a fine welcome home this is.
Rob, what in tarnation is this all about?
Wait a minute. I got it. Coat hanger. There, I remembered it again.
Would you mind explaining what this is all about, Pop? Who is this dog, and what's he doing here in our house?
Attacking members of the family as if we were burglars.
As if we haven't been through enough already.
His name is Toby, the Wonder Dog. He's here to protect me.
Protect you? From what?
Well, according to the local police department, I'm being stalked by assassins.
What? Assassins? Pop, what are you talking about?
Well, about a week ago, somebody knocked on our front door, and Charlie, he happened to be here, he opened it, and he was shot. No one understands why, but the police department thinks they were out to get me.
You?
Why would anyone want to shoot you?
Or Charlie? Or any of us?
I don't know, but that's what Toby the Wonder Dog is here for, to protect me.
Well, it sure looks like we've missed a lot while we were away, Kathy.
I'll say. After all we went through in France, I thought things would start to calm down a little.
You should know better, Kathy, especially in this family. But Pop, how come Charlie answered our door in the first place?
Well, we were discussing our newest business enterprise. Yeah, it was going to work out pretty good, too. Oh. We were going to make bread and deliver it to all over Long Island using Charlie's Bulgarian step van.
A Bulgarian step van? Where did he get the money for that?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Remember that statue you broke, Kathy? Well, hidden inside it was thousands and thousands of dollars worth of treasure.
What?
Oh, my goodness, you're kidding.
Then there really was a treasure in one of the statues. Boy, what a coincidence.
I wonder if Uncle Jonathan knew about that.
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. Just 1 minute.
What?
What's all this about Uncle Jonathan? And just where have you been all this time?
Well, Pop, we've got quite a story for you. In fact, you better sit down for this one. Here, let me take your coat first, Kathy, since we're here to stay now. I'll be back as soon as I put this coat on the coat hanger.
And so Howard and Kathy arrive back home on Long Island, only to meet Pop and his new friend, Toby the Wonder Dog. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Pop say...
I forgot to tell you, Howard, that word works both ways.
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a mutual presentation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms and Radio Free Long Island. This is Don Topeka.
United Way is your way to care about Long Island.
Tax revenue's falling. Government services cutting back. These are troubled times for Long Island, but there is something you can do. I'm John Marburger, president of the University at Stony Brook and chairman of the 1991 United Way campaign. At Stony Brook, we're educating people of all ages who will help Long Island on the road to recovery. You can help Long Island too by contributing to United Way. When you give to United Way, it's not only other people who benefit, you do too.
If you know someone who needs assistance, if you are interested in contributing your time and dollars, call United Way of Long Island at 249-1100. United Way. It brings out the best in all of us.
This United Way message is sponsored as a community service by the University at Stony Brook, where educating today's students for tomorrow is our major concern.
That's right. That's why the potholes go second, because we're more concerned with educating students. And if we accidentally educate some people out there as well, that's fine too. You know, it happens. Well, it's Brain Damage time. The last Saturday night version of Brain Damage will be moving to Sunday morning, very early Sunday morning. In fact, the first show possible on Sunday, beginning at midnight, midnight to 2 a.m. So let's hear from some people out there. This is, a historic moment, I guess, because we've been doing the show at this time now for... 20, 30 years or something like that? It's been quite a while. I mean, it seems like it's been forever, but I know it can't really have been that long. So give us a call at 632-6901, And let me hasten to remind people, if they get a busy signal, that's not a real busy signal. That's because there aren't enough phone lines coming into the university, and you got to keep trying over and over and over again. But once you do get through, you'll hear a ring, and when we get to your phone call, you'll hear our voice instead of the ring. That's how it works. Everybody knows that. So 632-6901, let's hear from all those people out there that have listened to the show either just tonight or over the last several years or whatever. We'd like to know if you'll be changing your lifestyle to listen in when we move to a later time. Okay, now, while you're dialing those phones, let's take a look at the news. Yes, there is news tonight. Russian President Boris Yeltsin says he has a better idea. In a Soviet television interview today, he dismissed as expensive and time-consuming a proposal to move all the Soviet Union's nuclear arms from two outlying republics to Russian soil. He says a better option would be to destroy the weapons as part of a 50% cut in the Soviet arsenal. In fact, he wants to destroy them over New York. No, he doesn't want to do that. I'm only kidding. But it was interesting. You know, I was reading somewhere. God knows where I was reading this, because I read all kinds of weird things. But if the Soviet Union were to break up, as it now appears that they are destined to do, and if nuclear weapons remain where they are, well, the number one nuclear power in the world would be the United States. Number two would be Russia. Number three would be something like Turkestan, or I can't even pronounce the name, but a country that we have not even been aware of, most of us in this country, before. And number four would be the Ukraine. So you've got all these new entities to deal with. And it's quite a spectacle to behold. Imagine if states started breaking up, started declaring independence. You know, New Jersey declared its independence from the United States. What do you think would happen? I'd sure like to know. You know, there's not a single state in this nation that, you know, causes any trouble. Not a single one. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, what if Arkansas or something just decided that they were sick of it? I don't know. There aren't any troublemakers in this country. That's the problem. Anyway, former Soviet Foreign Minister Eduard Shevardnadze warns that the Soviet economic crisis may become so severe that riots over the lack of food could erupt this winter. Today he told the British Broadcasting Corporation, people probably won't undertake a palace coup, but could very well take to the streets to rebel against chaos in the economy. Meanwhile, France is spearheading a drive to provide the Soviets massive Western aid. Washington could be hoping to assuage Israel and save next month's scheduled Mideast peace talks with an offer of millions in extra financial aid. Israel Radio claims Washington has offered the compromise to compensate for a delay in considering a request for housing loan guarantees. President Bush believes debate now could kill efforts to convene the talks. Two watchdog groups are accusing the Bush administration's Council on Competitiveness, of routinely and secretly trying to weaken health, safety, and environmental regulations. Sorry, didn't see the comma there. The head of OMB Watch, one of the groups issuing the report, says the council is allowing special interest groups to control policy. Gary Bass, or perhaps it's Gary Bass, complains that if the groups don't win at the agency level, they go to quail. Vice President Dan Quayle heads the council. Dum-dum-dum-dum. Okay, at least six spectators were injured in Wellstone, Ohio today when a car drove through a crowd of people watching a parade. Officials say spectators were gathered at the city's main intersection when a car in a nearby parking lot suddenly accelerated into the crowd. Fire Chief Bob Long says several people were taken away by ambulance, but none of the injuries seemed life-threatening. Federal investigators say Illinois owes Uncle Sam nearly $5 million for years of improper Medicaid billings. According to an audit obtained by the Associated Press, the state billed the government for psychiatric care for patients who'd left the hospital years before. The audit says Illinois has agreed to pay the money back. Bunch of swell guys they are. A passenger says flight attendants suddenly started collecting our trays real fast as an American Airlines Boeing 727 made an unscheduled landing Saturday in Fort Myers, Florida. An FAA spokesman says electrical smoke in the cockpit brought the Miami to Houston flight to a premature end. The plane landed safely and no one was hurt. Presumably, they all went up in another plane and got new trays. And finally, the small but intense Hurricane Claudette is getting closer to Bermuda, but weather forecasters say it's too soon to tell whether the island will stay in the storm's path. Claudette is about 270 miles south-southeast of Bermuda now and could hit late Sunday or early Monday. And that's the first hurricane since Bob. There aren't too many of them around this year for some reason. 21 Celsius outside. That's 70. That's it. 70 on the Fahrenheit scale, 91 on the USB scale. Tonight, it'll be clear with patchy fog. Excuse me. Patchy fog in interior sections by morning. Low 60 to 65. And on Sunday, we're expecting to be mostly sunny, high 75 to 80 with light winds. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low 60 to 65. All right. Last episode of Brain Damage for Saturday night versions. Let's, versions, not virgins, versions. Yes, we'll be moving to Sunday night, I mean Sunday morning. I hope I show up next week at the right time. Sunday morning, 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. And we'll be doing all kinds of neat things and taking phone calls and making phone calls and various bits and pieces like that. Now, this is your last chance to call at the old time schedule. We don't know what that means to people, but might be a bit of history that you can tell your future generations you took part in. So let's see who's out there. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, we just read the news, so that's pretty much what's happening as far as world events and things like that.
What kind of parade was that?
Kind of parade. You know, it doesn't... Hold on.
Okay, because if it was like a gay parade, there could have been somebody anti-gay there who might have, like, decided that, you know, he didn't like people going to the parade, so he tried to kill them all.
Well, you know, it just says it was a parade. Now, okay, today is September 7th. It's not Labor Day, okay, because Labor Day was last Monday. Mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah, I don't think they have parades, though, at least not in Ohio for Rosh Hashanah. Maybe they were. It must have been a parade for something. But maybe it was something local.
Yeah. But like I said, maybe somebody disagreed with, like, town policy or something.
Something really controversial, huh?
Yeah, really controversial.
Well, that's the kind of thing that happens in Ohio. You see, that's my complaint, that nothing controversial ever seems to happen.
What, in Ohio?
Well, anywhere, really. I mean, you know, the whole world is erupting in something, and all we do is watch football on TV. Or baseball, granted. We have some variety, but, you know, there's nothing really happening.
Well, we could make something happen. You're right. We need some troublemaker states.
Yeah, you know.
Last time we had troublemaker states was back in 1860.
Yeah, it's been too long. You know, breakaway republics, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You think there's any potential?
I suppose.
Well, where would you start?
Where would I start?
Yeah.
Well, I'd start with New York City.
Well, that's not even a state.
LA,
that's a city.
Or some major... No, I'm talking like a city and then a state.
I mean, a city starting it and... well, you know, Long Island could start it. Long Island could become a breakaway... We could break away from the state. How's that?
You know, that's...
Then we break away from
I've
the whole
trying,
damn country.
I've been trying to get... Well, maybe not the country, but I've been trying to get, like, you know, people around me, like my parents and, you know, Stephen. Oh, Stephen's my boyfriend. He's right here, that's why.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to get, like, people
hi,
like my parents and, like, my boyfriend and... oh, he says hi.
I know, we've talked.
Okay.
Just now we just talked. We never talked before, I don't think, but... We're communicating while you're talking, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've been trying to get, like, everybody around me trying to, you know, sign petitions and stuff.
Right.
Because if you think about it, we've got the highest taxes in the state. Did you hear about what Mario Cuomo said about us?
What did Mario say?
Mario said when asked how many... you know, how much more is he going to torture Long Islanders with high taxes? Mario turned around and told the reporter, let him sell their polo ponies.
Ooh.
So how about we put our polo ponies to good use and...
Did he really say that? I can't believe he would really say that.
He really said that.
Let them sell... I mean, I haven't seen a polo pony in... God, it must be weeks now.
There's been
a surprising lack of them. Polo ponies, come on. No, I can't believe he said that. Where did you see that?
I'm not sure, but, like, Stephen right next to me, he read it too.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he just said he said that because he's a fascist governor.
So Long Islanders are known for being rich? Is that what this statement implies?
Yeah, it does, but we're not. I mean, I've been... All right, this is no offense to people on 2nd Avenue in Bay. One example, some other areas.
Example of what?
Of people who don't have polo ponies. Let's
say. Or polopinies, as Ralph Cramden would say.
Yeah. So like Huntington Station, you know, areas like that where, you know, I mean, Wyandanch, I think that's the one that has the busing. I'm not picking on people who live there. I'm just saying that there are just some areas that, you know, they're low income, not like really low income, but like low income, low for Long Island.
Well, Long Island certainly is not a you know, an area of thriving communities. That's certainly something that I think a governor must know, and if he doesn't, I certainly can't understand why not.
Well, I think...
Unless he was, you know, I don't know, how was he asked the question? Maybe he was asked the question by some obnoxious rich person. I don't know.
I think he was asked by a reporter.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to hear if other people have heard the same remarks from him, and how shall we respond to that? We should issue ultimatums, you know, like, you know, the Baltic republics.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Why don't you say it?
Uh-oh.
What did you want me to say? Because Governor Cuomo's an idiot? Okay.
That might be against state law to call him an idiot over the airwaves, but go ahead.
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech, yes.
Did you
hear? Okay, they can't nail me on this because... I heard this story. I read it in Time magazine. I think I still have the article if you want me to go get it. I am dead serious. This is a really sick story. But this guy was like... Good word for this. Passing gas around another guy. And the second guy sued the first guy for mental stress. Because he said that, you know, the passing gas was causing some kind of stress or something. And... The first guy won, the one who was passing gas won because the lawyer said it was freedom of speech. So if somebody can get away with that, I'm sure I can get away with calling Mario Cuomo an idiot.
Yeah, I never thought of that as free speech. In some ways it's certainly better quality speech than a lot of people talk. I know that, but I never thought of it as speech. That's an interesting way of Time magazine, huh?
Yeah, it's not speech, actually. It's leave the word that we've
but
used.
It depends. Well, some people it is speech, no question about it. But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shocking story that can only come out of the U.S. Any other thoughts or comments before we move on to more calls?
I cannot believe that this is your last night on Saturdays.
Well, you know, the times change occasionally. I mean, how long has brain damage been on at this time? I don't even know. 3 years or something like that?
The talk show. 3 years? Serious?
About that, yeah, something like that. So it's time that there be a change. And, of course, it's only a two-hour change, so it's not really that big a change, but it's still a change. Makes us sort of feel, you know, like things are changing around us.
Uh-huh.
Everybody needs change.
Mm-hmm.
Change is a way of life. It's healthy.
Definitely.
Right.
Government needs a change.
Yeah. Everything needs
Definitely.
A change.
No, our government.
Sure.
Our government is screwed up. I want to see, like, dictator for a little while.
You want to see a dictator?
He could really pull the country together. A dictator could really pull the country together. That's what I think.
Against him, you mean?
Well, okay, I'm not talking like dictator. I'm just talking like welfare should be illegal. There should be no such thing as people not working. Because I don't think that's fair.
Well, wait a minute, what about people that can't work?
What?
What do they do? What about people who can't work?
Everybody can work doing something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Handicapped people and people that have to bring up kids and all that kind of thing?
Okay, excuse me. You've been corrected. People in wheelchairs don't want to be called handicapped. Because they're what was the word, disabled? There was some kind of word.
Okay,
physically challenged.
Fine, no problem. But there's a lot of people that are unable to work for various reasons, whether it be various handicaps or just having to do a lot of things in the house. There, I mean, and there's also the fact that there aren't any jobs either. You know, these people cannot walk in and become computer operators or something like that.
Well, they should do something that requires no brains, like DMV. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, no, you definitely shouldn't have said that.
How about clean up the environment? How about Peace Corps? How about, like...
You know what I saw in the paper today really annoyed me, speaking of cleaning up the environment, was an article about how mankind can adapt to global warming. As if we're saying, okay, we're not going to do anything to prevent global warming. We're just going to figure out how to adapt to it. And, yeah, some creatures, some you know, endangered species are probably going to perish and all that, but mankind will thrive and we'll get by somehow.
By the way, have you gotten any mail lately?
Have I gotten any mail? I've gotten pieces of mail.
Like, to USB?
You know, I haven't been through the mailbox. I should look in the mailbox, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will do that. And if I don't look through it before the end of this show, it'll certainly kick off my next show, whatever is in there.
Why? How next week? How close is the mailbox to you? The
mailbox is in the other room. So if somebody comes in and gets the mail for me, then I'm saved. But otherwise, I either have to leave the microphone for a good 2 minutes to get in there and find everything. Or, well, then again, maybe there isn't any mail, you know? I don't know how you know that there's mail.
Because I know that there's mail.
You know that there's mail, huh?
Or at least there should be. Because if there's not, that means that, well, I won't say anything over the air.
Yeah, okay. You don't want people to think that anything's going on. Okay. Well, we'll try to rectify that situation and see what we can do, okay?
Okay. Just one more question.
Yes.
Now.
Go ahead.
I have to prove something to somebody.
Okay.
A song that was played on the other show right before your show started.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of that song?
Before my show started?
Yeah.
That's classical music. Is that what you mean?
No.
Before my show started or after my show started within my show?
I don't know if it was within your show. It was right before the show started. They played Big Audio Dynamite.
Okay, yeah, we played Big Audio Dynamite songs. Which song are you interested in?
I'm talking about that song, Rush.
What about it?
Well, I just wanted to prove this point over the air because somebody I know happened to think that it was by Rush.
No. Rush is not involved in this at all. The song is called Rush. The song used to be called Change of Atmosphere.
Hold on. Because he played it, it was played just before his show started.
It confused everybody, I realize that.
Yeah. Well, would you play a song?
Would I play a song? We've only got 20 minutes left in our entire show forever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't play
I didn't
any
mean
music.
To take up so much time.
Well, no, we just can't play any more music. We've played too much music already.
Okay.
I've gotten a telegram, in fact. But next week we can probably play something in our new improved time slot.
Okay, please try and look in tonight.
Okay.
To the mailbox.
Okay.
Okay.
I've already signaled somebody to, like, help me out here, so we'll do something, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Sure. Last parting words.
Yes.
Governor Cuomo is an idiot and should never run for president.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people out there are taking note of that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Not for those comments. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling is what I meant. Okay. Just wanted to make that absolutely crystal shiny clear. All right. I want to read something here, which someone gave me. And then we'll be taking some more phone calls. Oh, is this the... okay, I think we have a piece of mail, too. Okay, thank you very much for bringing that in. First, let's take a look at this. This is something from a magazine, regrettably I forgot the name of. And it's a Xerox off the magazine, so I don't... The magazine's name wasn't Xeroxed on it. But if somebody knows, maybe they can call up and tell me. It's a section in the magazine called Babel Study Department. Yes, Babel Study Department. It's a play on Bible study, you get it? Yeah, okay. Editor's note. The volume known as the Holy Bible is said to be the best-selling book in history, and it has certainly enjoyed wide circulation. But how about actual readership? Does anyone really open up this book and give it sober attention, or do all of its fanatical adherents just carry it around and point to it whenever a convenient justification is needed for their biases and feverish wishes to impose their will on people of differing views? We believe that the Bible's writers not only were not inspired by any alleged God, but in large part they were obviously crazy. To expose this condition, we will reprint passages from the Bible next to samples of sane writing on various mundane topics, auto repair manuals, etc., to illustrate the point that if there was a God, it would surely provide us with some clearer instructions than are contained in the Bible. The following text is from the section titled Revelation, chapter 13. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 diadems on his horns and a blasphemous name upon his heads. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like that of a lion. The dragon invested him with his power and his throne and great authority. One of his heads seemed fatally wounded. His mortal wound was healed, however, and the whole earth followed the beast in wonder. They worshipped the dragon, because he had bestowed authority on the beast. They also worshipped the beast, saying, "Who matches the beast, and who is able to war against him?" Then I saw another beast who came up from the land. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. He exercises the full authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those living in it worship the first beast, whose mortal wound had been healed. He also performs impressive miracles. For instance, he causes fire to descend from heaven to the earth in the presence of the people. By means of the wonders he is allowed to perform in the presence of the beast, he leads those living on the earth astray, telling the earth's inhabitants to erect a statue to the beast that had the wound by the sword and came back to life. Let him who has the mind for it calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number, and his number is 666. Compare this maddened, schizophrenic prose to the clear passage that follows from an instruction manual for a photocopy machine. The rubber rollers should periodically be removed for a thorough cleaning. Also, you should check all brushings or bearings on the rollers and side frames for wear. Normally, there will be a slight amount of play in the bushings. Upon reassembly, be sure to lightly oil each roller bushing or bearing. Install the top rollers first and adjust each individually as follows. Loosen lock screw number 55A1 and turn the eccentric bearing 551B clockwise to decrease and counterclockwise to increase pressure at this end of the roller. The overall pressure is adjusted via set screw 552B. Move the screws only slightly when adjusting, then recheck. Notice how lucid the second sample of writing is in comparison to that taken from the Bible. Were the Bible's writers insane? Again, if anybody can enlighten me as to what magazine that was from, please help me out here, because I thought it was a very interesting piece. Not the kind of thing you see every day, and certainly not the kind of thing you hear every day, but it's the kind of thing you'll hear only on Brain Damage, only on WUSB in Stony Brook. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, I was noticing most of the people in the news and everything, they seem to, like, want to let John Gotti go. And, like, if the government is supposedly, like, run by the people for the people, if the majority of the people want to let him go, then wouldn't that, like, supersede the laws and say let the guy go? Because they really had nothing to stick on the guy.
Well, you know, it never works that way. They don't ever show anything up to the public and allow them to vote. I mean, how many things do you think are really decided by majority rule? Yeah, we say that... you know, we elect our government based on that, but the government is elected on the, you know, electoral college and all that, and it's never really, you don't ever see issues brought up to a majority vote. Did you ever vote on Shoreham? Did you ever vote on recycling in Suffolk County or, you know, anything? The speed limit, do you vote on these things?
Yeah, the government just, like, assumes, you know, control, and they say this is what's going on.
Well, you see, power, direct power in the hands of people is something that every government is afraid of, so they make it, you know, so that you vote for the people that decide things, but you never actually decide things yourself.
I mean, the next election that's coming up in November.
Yeah.
Everybody should just vote for nobody. I mean, not go down and vote. Go down and vote, but vote for nobody.
Nobody will solve all the problems. Nobody will stop unemployment. Nobody will keep taxes down.
No, if you vote for nobody, you can get rid of all the idiots and then start fresh over.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, I mean, if you don't re-elect them, I mean, if everybody votes for nobody and they put some guy in office, what the hell is that?
Well, I would like to put, you know, different people, newcomers in power just to see what happens.
And you said we should get some troublemakers? Well, I think Long Island should secede and become its own state.
Yeah, that'd be a start, and then we could secede and become like another Cuba or something. Wouldn't that be something to have a Cuba down there and one up here as well? And then there'd be a threat. Then there'd be, you know, cause for all these people afraid of, you know, the American way of life being threatened.
Well, we should at least start off as a state, because we pay a lot of taxes for New York, and we get, like, nothing out of it.
Uh-huh.
And the upstate is jerking us.
Well, I'd just like to know, if there's one part of the country that thinks that they're getting a fair shake. I don't think there is.
No, well, if Long Island isn't, you know. I mean, we're losing jobs by the thousands, and, you know, we keep putting all the taxes into, like, Utica or Watertown, way the hell up in the middle of nowhere upstate, where there's, like, four people living in the town, and we're not getting anything out of it.
Well, we'll see how many people actually do live up there that, you know, that wish to express other opinions.
Yeah. So if they move into the old power surge time slot?
Yeah, I guess that's historically the old power surge time slot, too, yeah.
It'd be filling some old empty void.
It's still smoking a bit, but I think we can settle in there.
Yeah, that'll fill some, partially fill an empty void in my life. The Raz left.
Well, I mean, do you think it's better to be on from 12 to 2 than it is from 10 to 12?
I noticed that a lot of times, like when you go overtime,
yeah,
you tend to have more calls.
I've noticed that too, that the phones light up like, you know, a Christmas tree. And I used to think it was just people, you know, trying to get at me, like saying, here we all are, but you can't take our phone call now because it's too late.
Hey, you know what it might be? It's like everybody goes out Saturday night,
yeah,
and they're coming home just about that time.
That's probably it. So, you know, in deference to the people of Long Island, we have changed our ways so that we can be more convenient for everybody else. We're there for you to call us, you know, at a more convenient time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, look forward to hearing you on the new time slot.
All right.
And let's take some more calls.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Just a few comments on, like, what he had to say and stuff.
Okay.
First off, I want to start with the article about the Good Bible.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Babel study.
Mm. Now, what do you think the Japanese instructions at assembling a desk?
Okay, do you have
that? That match the same thing? Aren't these the geniuses who are leading our economy this very second?
That's a very good point.
No?
I imagine that would be quite something to plod through. Do you happen to have instructions for a desk?
Not presently on me, but I could, like, tell you a simple instruction.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, this is folding a box together they have, you know, to package their screws and stuff in.
All right.
This is their instructions for it. Fold flaps A and B according to picture photograph. And
okay.
Fold it over.
Right.
And it says, fold flap C up so it is at a 90-degree angle to face flaps A and B. Fold that up. And then it says, fold flap C flap D accordingly over the other three flaps to form a perfect rectangle box.
A perfect rectangle box?
Mm.
Oh boy, I don't know if I've ever done that.
Well,
yeah, that reminds me when I got in a lot of trouble in second grade once because the teacher told us to make little squares,
yeah,
like, to cut out little squares. And, you know, being a little kid, I had been told what a square was. A square is something where all four sides are exactly equal. Now, what the teacher meant was just, you know, cut a bunch of rectangles, but she said square. So I would cut something, and then I'd look at it, and I'd say, no, that's not right because it's not exactly even. And, you know, 15 minutes went by, and I didn't even have a single square. And I had to stand outside because she thought I was just making trouble. But then after standing outside, I decided I would make trouble. I won't get into that. But, yeah, so is your box complete, or is there more?
No, there's more. Then you have to gently fold over, like, a quarter of an inch on flap D to be able to slide it into place between flaps A and B. So it'll be, like, you know, on the other side of flap C, but in between flaps A and B. And then they say you've made your box, whatever.
Where do you get this stuff? Wow. That's pretty heavy.
That's just to make a stupid cardboard box. Okay?
I can imagine what
assembling
it is. Okay. You ever see, like, in the science books, the different theories they have?
Uh-huh.
You know how, like, one theory can be five pages of total gibberish?
Yeah.
I mean, and they're calling people long ago fools, or, you know.
Well, I mean, I think they're calling people long ago fools because nobody really does that anymore. Nobody really asks questions or thinks or criticizes, or at least they don't do it publicly. You know, and if something can stand up to criticism, then it becomes more worthy. But if something is above criticism, then I don't think it's worth anything. Right?
That's the way to look at it.
That's the way I look at it.
As far as the state goes, I mean, you know, pulling away from the state, would we just be Long Island without Manhattan?
Yes, ideally, I think we would.
Ideally?
Yeah.
Then we'd lose all of our money because...
Well, we might get Brooklyn and Queens.
The main people who purchase all of our stuff is Manhattan.
What's our stuff?
Making money,
you know?
Manhattan.
What's our stuff?
Anything we produce here.
What do we produce? What do we make?
Actually...
Potatoes. I know we do that.
Not much. We don't make much anymore. We're more of a service island now, and no one will want any of our services.
Uh-huh.
Manhattan wants our services.
Well, Manhattan can, you know...
Boycott, yeah.
They, I don't know. There's different ways of looking at it. Listen, I got a couple more calls I want to go to.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-69... Oh, one. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I have a really good joke. Do you want to
hear it? Is it clean?
Very clean.
Clean joke?
What?
Wholesome joke?
It's a good, wholesome, all-American joke.
Well, we've got senior citizens that listen to this show, and I don't want to offend anybody.
No, it's good. It's good. Listen. A guy walks into a bar, he says, ouch. You like that?
That's not bad. Okay, that's good.
So, what's up?
Well, I don't know. You've just derailed my entire show here with that joke. You've stolen the spotlight, so to say.
I have a friend who got into a really bad accident.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You're trying to change the mood now?
And he, yeah, well, all he's right. Here with us right now. He was kind of intoxicated.
Yeah.
I just want to send out the message, don't ever drink and bike. He was on his bicycle and he was drinking.
Well, that's true. I mean, you shouldn't. I mean, people, I don't understand. People, they think... Don't drink and drive. That means it's okay to drink and drive a boat.
Don't.
Or drink and fly an airplane, but just don't drink and drive. I mean, you know, you shouldn't drink and walk down a street if it's a busy street. You know, you shouldn't drink and do anything that it means that you could do something, you know, bad if you don't know what you're doing.
It's called BWI, biking while intoxicated. We're all kind of, we're partying right now and we're really kind of drunk.
Just don't. Move.
I'm sorry.
Just don't move. Don't.
OPP. Yeah, you know me.
Don't use the phone either. Please, don't use the phone. Okay. 632-6901. This is, who will be the last caller on brain damage? Huh? There's a question for you. There's something to hold proudly to yourself. I was the last caller to call in brain damage at its old time slot, at its old traditional time slot, the first slot that it ever had. Hopefully we won't have too many time slots. 632-6901. I want to see a bingo. One last bingo for old time's sake. And we'll go quickly through the calls and see who's out there that will say goodbye to this this time slot. Remember, next week, brain damage moves to midnight.
Thank God.
some people are very happy about that, I know. Let's see. We've got some more interesting quotes and things like that. Okay, here's something from a little pamphlet that gets handed out. It's called Girls Dressed Modestly. It's, you know, it's for you girls out there. Don't expect me to dress like my great-grandmother. What's wrong with being in style? This is 1968, not 1900. Everyone is wearing them. Oh, you are just old-fashioned. These are always the arguments you hear from girls and young women today. But friends, if you dare not be different, then how dare you to profess Christ? For a Christian cannot remain in one's accord. I'm sorry, this is facts, so it's kind of hard to read. For a Christian cannot remain in one accord with the world and be a true follower of Christ. He says to be separate and to come out from the world. Neither can young Christian ladies continue wearing slacks, shorts, and those awful short skirts and remain in favor with the Lord. This may well be 1977. but God never changes, and His Word never changes. So no matter what man has made the styles, God still expects His female followers to dress according to the form which He has set forth in the Bible. God still expects girls and women to remain sweet and virtuous. Girls, one of your most precious treasures is your virtue. And I quote J. Edgar Hoover, teenage girls, don't ask for trouble. Dress sensibly. J. Edgar Hoover said that. J. Edgar Hoover says it. You got to pay attention. It's, you know, one of the things. Now, there is nothing wrong with the human body. God made it and did an excellent job of it. He also designed fellows and girls, which also meets our unvarnished approval. It is also in his plan that the teens and 20s are in many ways the most beautiful and physically appealing years. The rough thing is that the devil also knows this fact, and he is using the desire which naturally exists in our systems to cause wreck and often ruin through immodest dressing. The fellows expect girls to dress nicely. They expect their clothes to add beauty to the bodies God has given them, but they also have a right to expect from girls that such clothes do not tempt, allure, or entice into ruinous consequences. So, girls, dress modestly. Forget all of that daring... denuding? I don't know that word. Daring, denuding bunk. Many a high school teacher and principal has said with a shake of the head, she asked for trouble by the way that she dressed. She got what she signaled for. You may not get as many whistles, or the fellows may not turn around as often, or slow down in their convertibles, but somewhere along the line is a fellow who is quietly and patiently waiting and looking for the kind of girl he feels his mother was when she was a girl. We know he will find her if you girls will only dress modestly. And that came from the old, if I can read this, Old Paths Track Society of Shoals, Indiana, 47581 is the zip code. And it's sent out with the desire of leading souls to Christ for offering 50 cents per 100, $2.50 per 1,000, or for free copies, state how many you can prayerfully use. Boy, I can't believe some of the things they actually say here. She asked for trouble by the way she dressed. And, oh, well, that's bound to stir up some controversy if it gets out. But that was donated by an anonymous listener. And I'd like to know what people think about that. 632-6901. We only have 3 minutes. There's only one call on the line. Shocking, but true. 632-6901. Let's get at least one more call, and then we'll wrap it up for the night and for brain damage for this time period. No sound test is up next. No sound test is moving too, isn't it? What are you moving to?
Thursday's 10 to 12.
Thursday's 10 to 12. There's nothing but changes at USB.
Eric, I just wanted to tell the listening audience that I'm very glad that we won't be following you anymore, because you have been an extremely rude and hard person to get along with. And I've never in my years here at USB had such a hard time. So, no love lost.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that. And I know that we're both happy to see Tony White move to another night.
Actually,
oh, yeah.
He's moving to your night, though. Did you know that? He's moving to Thursday night as well. So he's going to be right with you again.
If that's true, then we might have to reconsider our schedule.
Yeah. So, you see, here at USB, we sound happy over the airwaves, but behind the microphone, it's another story altogether. Okay, let's take one last call. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing? What's on your mind?
What's on my mind?
Yes. Is this the same caller that called before?
Could be.
Well,
might not be.
Are there any other callers out there?
Probably someplace.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I think that all this Christian stuff is a bunch of Christian stuff, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, that's a good way of phrasing it.
I mean, listen to what they're saying. They think that some kind of monster is the root of all evil. I thought we only had one God.
They obviously don't know Lister.
No, they don't know Lister. Well, it's, you know, we're stirring up the kettle of fish here, and we only have 30 seconds.
Stir up this kettle of fish next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to start with a whole new fish next week. Thanks for calling.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you get envelope with no return address?
I did not see an envelope with no return address. But there might be more mail down in the office, so we'll have to check that in future weeks.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
And thanks to everybody else out there that has listened over the past few years, and hopefully you'll be able to adjust your schedule and listen to us at midnight next week, midnight to 2 a.m., as we bring you all kinds of new things. I don't know what we'll bring you, but we'll bring you something. So for the old brain damage, it's been fun. And for the new brain damage, we look forward to the future. Stay tuned to USB for No Sound Test coming up next, and all kinds of other surprises. Good night.
On Sunday, September 8th, 1991, starting at 12:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook, we will be presenting Radio Art Noise, the second in a series of five-hour improvisations live over the airwaves of WUSB Stony Brook. If you missed the improvisation of May 5th of this past year, be sure to tune in for this one. I'm sure you'll be interested and excited by what you hear. And if you're interested in participating, you can call 516-632-6901 on the day of the performance. That's Radio Art Noise, second in a series, coming up September 8th, 1991, here at WUSB Stony Brook from 12:30 p.m. until 5:30 p.m. Be sure to tune in for it on the first station of the 90s, WUSB in Stony Brook.
90.1 WUSB Stony Brook. I'm Billy Fisher for Concert.